Welcome back, episode 19 of the Soxphere podcast. I'm your host, Gabe Faulkner. Always joined by my co-host, Cody Collins. Cody, how you been? It's been a while.
I'm doing well. Doing a little bit better than the Red Sox have been doing lately, but I'm excited to get back into the podcast game. Feels like it's been way too long at this point.
Oh, it definitely has. And it sucks that we have to start on such a sour note. But just to jump right into it, first thing we have on the list is to touch on the David Ortiz incident. I don't know about you, but I'll give a quick rundown of what how I found out about the whole situation. So I think it was game 6 of the Stanley Cup playoffs, so I'm at home watching the Bruins, and I don't even know what period it was in, but I get on my phone and I'm scrolling through Twitter and I see a tweet that someone said, I'm praying for you, Big Poppy, whatever. And I had no idea what was going on at this point. So I'm frantically searching Google, Twitter, trying to find out any update on what had happened. And I finally came across the tweet saying that he had been shot in the foot or the leg. I forget which one it was, but at first it was just shock hit me. I refused to believe that had happened, and I really didn't. I kind of took it with a grain of salt. I didn't know whether to believe the tweet, just because it wasn't coming from a credible source. So if the minute it came out from a verified Twitter account or a verified reporter, that's when I knew that it was not good. So that's when I found out, and from that point on, the whole night was just stressful. I mean, you had the tweet that it hit me was when I forget who even tweeted it out, but it said like they changed that it hit him in the back, or they shot him through the back, came out the stomach, whatever. And that quote from Ortiz that was said to the doctor, like, "I'm a good man, don't let me die." That's when it hit me. I don't know about you, but that's when it I was just in shock at that point. So I don't know about you, but that's how I found out about the whole situation. It was just weird night.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I was sitting on my couch watching Game 6 of the Stanley Cup at that point. You know, the Bruins are winning that game pretty handily, so you're in a good mood. But honestly, I wasn't on my phone much, but one of my buddies texted me and was like, "Big Poppy just got shot." I'm like, are you serious? And so, like, sure enough, I followed the link to a tweet, and you know, from there, like you mentioned, details kind of just came flooding in. And at first it seemed, I guess, minor in the sense that, you know, a shot to the leg is bad, but compared to the back is much less. Less severe in that case, but either way, it was just it felt like that hour or two where everybody's just sitting there tracking news until he went into surgery and people are like, he's stable. You know, everybody, I think I can speak for most people in New England saying we're all truthfully wondering, you know, what's going on, what happened, and like, is David Ortiz going to make it through the night? So, I mean, I guess they're very thankful that he, you know, things seem to be more stable than they were, and you know, he seems to be doing okay and should be ready for visitors here shortly. But yeah, that was definitely something that took a little bit of the excitement out of a game 6 win for the Bruins.
Yeah, and I've heard several people say it, but when that sort of thing happens to like that big of a figure, like Ortiz and Brady, that it doesn't get bigger than that in Boston. But when that happened to Ortiz, like, everything else did not matter. Like, the Bruins game did not matter to people in Boston. You know, their first thought was Big Poppy, all right. And the details are a little shaky at this point. First came out that it was an attempted robbery, and then shortly after it was just a flat-out assassination attempt from just a random guy. But now it's like they're arresting, like, multiple people. I still have no idea what is the whole situation. I know that these people were hired to kill Big Poppy. Each guy was offered like, or they were all offered around $7,800 when converted into U.S. dollars, and that's still like that's it's just crazy that that was going to be what it took to kill David Ortiz, a beloved Red Sox legend, and like that's just crazy. That's just crazy for me to even think about. And you heard Pedro Martinez say it on MLB Network, how he was just so shocked and disappointed in the people of the Dominican, just because, you know, he's a legend down there. We think he's a legend in Boston, but, you know, just think about how he's beloved in the Dominican Republic. So for it to happen to Ortiz in his backyard, that's got to be scary to him. I have no idea if I would be able to go back there if I was him, but maybe you can help me out on this one, but at this point, I think it's the rumor I heard was that a drug lord hired Ortiz or people to kill Ortiz because of a whole affair situation. I'm not gonna go into any further just because I think Big Poppy hasn't had a chance to even like. Defend himself, so I'm not going to throw out accusations or anything, but that's what I'm hearing. So
yeah, I mean, I feel like I've heard a bunch of different things, but I'm with you in the sense that even if that's true, I mean, I'm not going to say anything or speculate until we actually hear any facts in that regard. So at this point, I think I'm with most fans saying that I'm thrilled to hear that he's in stable condition, and I guess we'll wait to hear more details from there.
Yeah, so to move on to a more, I don't know, better subject to talk about, or not really better, or I guess it is better, but it's still sour because it was a split, but recap of the Rangers series. So the Red Sox dropped both Game 1 and Game 2 of the series. Game 1 was pretty harsh. Extra inning loss, Ryan Brazier blew the save. In the 11th or 12th inning, I forget. Then in Game 2, another loss. That's the night of the ejections, the Benintendi Cora ejections, which were something to watch. Darwinson Hernandez pitched in that game, so he picked up the loss. Game 3, we were able to get a win. Mookie Betts walk-off walk. Strange way to end a game. And Game 4, another win. Did not start off well at all with David Price giving up 6 runs or whatever in the in an inning in a third, and then the offense just exploded for 5 home runs on the Red Sox side. And the bullpen was actually really good last night. So what were your key takeaways from this series against the Rangers?
I mean, really, it was just such a mixed bag because you start off in Game 1, Chris Sale throws an absolute gem and somehow ends up in a no decision and we lose that game. Game 2, as you mentioned, just weird with the Benintendi Cora stuff, and honestly just goes to show how big of a joke Angel Hernandez is. He's like one of 2 or 3 umpires that I actually dislike. You know, for the most part, I'm all for human error that exists within baseball umpires, but it always seems to be around Angel Hernandez and Ron Kulpa, and both of those guys are just terrible. But either way, that's a totally different segue, but, you know, I mean, it just feels like missed opportunities, and that's really what it felt like to the majority of the first half. Like, you know, obviously the Rangers are in control of that second wild card spot, and though there's plenty of season left and we're not in the thick of a wild card race per se, but, you know, you look at that series and they easily should have won 3 of 4 or could have won 3 of 4. Thankfully, they were able to battle back in Game 4, but, you know, really, to me, it just feels like missed opportunities. Like, what's your big takeaway from this one?
You know, I'm with you. Game 1 was an easy, just a game that slipped away. Blew the save there. It's just the bullpen has been disappointing lately, except last night. Like, that series wraps up the Red Sox 2019 season pretty well for me. Disappointment followed by maybe they have something figured out, and then back to, you know, the series didn't get to that point, but you know, they've been disappointing after they do get a win or two. But the bullpen last night was really good. I was shocked. I got a little worried there in the ninth inning. I don't know about you, but the whole Heath Hembree situation. So we're recording this on Saturday night. Hembree last night looked like he was going to get the ninth after Matt Barnes had the eighth. Hembree, you could tell he was like in pain in the bullpen. He never really got up. He was sitting, like clutching his. It looked like his stomach to me, so I figured he was sick. But it came out after the game that he had right forearm tightness. And I figured he was fine after I went to bed last night because Cotillo tweeted out that Hembree said he was going to be fine. It was just, you know, tightness or whatever. But a few hours ago, the Red Sox placed Hembree on the IL, which is pretty disappointing. I mean, I think it's going to hurt because now you have to expect your starters to go really, really deep into games, which hasn't been the case these past few weeks. Because right now we just don't have a bullpen. We have Hembree out, Brazier out, Barnes has been just awful. I have no idea what's going to happen now. The only guys I have faith in are Brandon Workman and Marcus Walden at this point. So I guess that's a pretty good segue into the next segment, which are the bullpen struggles. How do you feel about the state of the bullpen right now?
Honestly, I don't even know how you can sum up the Red Sox current bullpen other than it's just a mixed bag. Nobody knows what they're going to get from night to night. You have no idea who's going to be the closer. You have no idea who's going to be the long guy that night. I mean, God forbid I thought we'd ever get into a situation where Josh Smith is pitching the ninth inning in a save situation against the Texas Rangers. I mean, I honestly was sitting there. Obviously, it was before the Heath Hembree news came out, but you're just sitting there like, is this seriously happening? The guy that has a 6+ career major league ERA is pitching the ninth right now?
It was just ridiculous. And he hit the first batter he saw with the second pitch he threw, and that's when I'm like, we're going to lose this game, and it's just going to be awful post-game with Cora explaining the move, because at that point I didn't know why Hembree wasn't coming in. Which Hembree I've had some faith in lately. He's been pitching pretty well. I know you and I kind of bashed on Hembree late last season, I believe, and then early this season I didn't have trust in anybody in the Red Sox bullpen, but he's actually turned it around, so props to him. But now we're without him, Brazier, like I said. It's going to be interesting to see, especially tonight, because right now they're playing the Orioles in the bottom of the third. Erod's pitching. He's at right around 50 pitches right now, like I said, in the third inning. So we need him to go pretty deep or we're screwed, because Brian Johnson is taking Eovaldi's place, I believe. I think that's what I saw on Twitter. So we can't use Johnson tonight, so that kind of just puts us in a tricky situation if Erod can't get out of the or go deep into the game, because Matt Barnes is just, I have no idea what's going on with him, but I don't really have any trust in him right now at this point. But yeah, who are the two guys that have impressed you which two guys in the bullpen do you have faith in at this point?
I mean, I definitely understand how you say Walden and Workman. I think they've been the two most consistent guys. I think by the time playoffs roll around, it'll probably be Workman and Barnes, or maybe Barnes and a piece that they acquire in the trade deadline.
Let's hope.
Yeah, so it's just been really weird, honestly. Like, you touched on Heath Hembree, and I'm not even going to lie. I think I speak for both of us when I say that I'm wishy-washy on Hembree. There's one day that I want to DFA him, and the next day that I'm like, oh, he's okay. But, I mean, you could just call a spade right now. I mean, he's given up one earn since the start of May, which I think boils down to a 0.6 ERA. I mean, that'll work. I don't care who you are. you're going to be pitching big innings if that's what you're doing recently. So it's been weird. Like I'm on the same train as Christopher Smith of MassLive. I love Mike Schwarren. I think he very easily could fit into the back end of the Red Sox rotation right now. And the Red Sox aren't even using him as a long guy. They're using him in like a one inning role. Like I thought last night when David Price got knocked out in the first inning and they brought in Schwarren, I'm like, well, here comes three or four innings that he'll give us anyways, you know, as we try to climb back in it. And he threw like 1 2/3 or 1 1/3. He didn't throw very much. So it was just, it's been very odd. And I guess at this point you just trust Alex Cora in the sense that he, you know, he worked his magic en route to a World Series championship last year. There's no reason not to trust him this year. So it's just been really strange. We thought Durbin Feltman might be ready this year. He doesn't seem like he's anywhere close. AAA with Henry Mejia, he's been pretty bad this year in Pawtucket. And so it's just been like the shuttle that's been running back and forth between Pawtucket and Boston with Travis Lakins, Mike Schwarren, Bobby Pointer, Josh Taylor. These guys are just up and down, and it's going to be that way all year until somebody steps into that consistent role, or until Dave Dombrowski says enough is enough and trades some prospects for a proven reliever anyways.
Yeah, so let me ask you this. Like, if you're Dombrowski, why aren't you, like, why didn't you make a move? That's the first question this offseason, because you knew this was coming. Even if the bullpen did perform well and then had a blemish at some point in the season, you're still going to catch some heat for not replacing Kelly or Kimbrel. I know Kelly's been doing awful and Kimbrel just signed, but that's a whole other story. But why didn't you sign a reliever, and then why don't you trade for one when, like, I mean, I guess it's a little early for trades to be happening, but I still would be looking and observing the market to see if there's any guy I could trade for and possibly get to fit in this Red Sox bullpen and get us some innings. But yeah, answer those two questions for me, because I'm actually, like, I have no idea why Dombrowski did what he did this offseason.
I mean, honestly, I have no clue. I mean, it just, I remember going back to our postseason primer episodes that we did when we're like, the bullpen is the biggest question mark for the Red Sox as they head into October. And so, like, your biggest point of weakness got worse throughout the offseason and it wasn't addressed. And it's not like there wasn't people out there, or whoever was out there could have only been had for monster deals. I mean, there were plenty of veterans. Greg Holland came super cheap. I mean, Calvin Herrera signed for very little. There are plenty of guys that very easily could have made a difference that we just seemed to very content to sit back and sign Colton Brewer, or trade for Colton Brewer and sign Zach Putnam and Erasmo Ramirez and a bunch of guys that will be lucky if they throw a couple pitches in Boston this year. It doesn't make a lot of sense. Excuse me. Just very, very odd, especially, like I said, just given the amount of talent that was out there, just seemed like he was placing a ton of faith on what was currently there. And now I think at this point, he's trying to save face, because what he could have spent in, you know, pennies and dimes for during the offseason, he's now having to give up a prospect. And, you know, when teams that are looking to deal players see that the Red Sox are looking to acquire somebody, they're not going to give them a discount. I mean, this is the defending World Series champions. It's basically like, it's the whole supply and demand thing. You know, I have an asset you need, I'm going to make sure I get top dollar for it, especially if I'm trading with the World Series champions. I mean, you're not going to get a discount anymore. So it just seems like a really bad spot that Dombrowski's backed himself into. So it just seems like a roundabout answer that I just gave to say, I honestly have no clue why exactly he waited this long. Exactly. It's just very confusing.
Real time update, quick break. Christian Vasquez just hit a bomb. And I want to touch on the fact that Vasquez hits, you know, a few home runs here and there, but every time he does, he pimps that home run. Like he hits, I mean, just a ton every year. I love it. But yeah, he just hit a bomb and he pimped that. Like he was like Bryce Harper or something. I thought that was hilarious.
I love Vasquez. He cracks me up.
Exactly. Yeah. And back to the bullpen situation. A guy that I talked about a little bit during the offseason, and I heard on a podcast today, Sean Kelly. Kelly, with the Rangers, was a guy I thought the Red Sox could sign. Rangers signed him for fairly cheap, and he would have been a great fit in this Red Sox bullpen. He's not a diva when it comes to you know, what innings you use him in, which is somebody we need when we had Kimbrel last year who was guilty of that. But, yeah, just numerous guys that Dombrowski could have signed that he just didn't. He refused to make a move. He acted like he was the GM of a very, very small market team. You're the Red Sox. I go out and you just won a World Series. Try it. You have the opportunity to contend again. Go out and make a move. It just doesn't make sense to me. A stat I want to throw out there that I found very interesting. Carrabas tweeted this out the other day. The 13 Red Sox relievers except Barnes, Workman, Walden, or Hembree have a 5.56 ERA with a 1.53 WHIP in 136 innings this season. Like,
that's pretty terrible.
Like, if I'm Dombrowski, just that stat alone makes me make a move, some sort of move, to try to improve the bullpen. Because, like you said, it's we have no idea what we're going to get game in and game out. It's just, it's, you know, roll the dice. You know, they're going to be good this night, be awful the next night. So it's just, it's a very, very frustrating process for me. So, yeah, it's going to be a storyline, I think, for the rest of the season, I would assume, unless Dombrowski makes quite the move at the deadline to get a top or mid-tier bullpen arm. But next topic we got, are the Red Sox a legitimate buyer or seller at the deadline? Cody, what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, I feel like the next few weeks are going to be really huge because I think even if they're in the middle of the wild card race, I think you have to look at the team and say, do I feel like I can win, you know, that five-game series with Chris Sale, David Price, and whoever you want to start as the third guy, whether that's Porcello or whoever. I mean, I feel pretty good about the Red Sox chances with anybody in a five-game set, regardless of how they've played up until that point. So I think, yes, they're going to be a buyer. I did think it was a lot of fun. One of our contributing writers put out the, you know, what if things just blew up for the Red Sox and they traded Mookie Betts. I thought it was very interesting. It was hilarious to see the amount of people that were just like, oh my gosh, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever read in my life. And it was honestly surprising equally just how many people were like, oh yeah, trade Betts. He sucks. Like, he didn't even show up this year. It's like, oh my gosh, he's still the reigning AL MVP. And there never seems to be like the middle ground, but I will say we had plenty of Braves fans that reached out to us to say, you know, this is super interesting in the sense that Mookie Betts coming to the Braves would just be huge for them as a franchise. And I think the only thing, if you haven't read it, you should definitely go check that out. It's very interesting. There's a huge prospect package that the Red Sox will get back in return. And the only guy they basically said no, probably wouldn't make sense was Ozzie Albies, just because he might have the most team-friendly deal in all of baseball. Just a super, super cheap deal. So
ridiculous.
Either way, it was super interesting. I don't see the Red Sox being sellers unless, God forbid, everything just go to crap and, you know, you find out Chris Sale's out for the year and JD's hurt. And at that point, you're like, okay, we're not going to keep these guys. But even still, it would have to just be an absolute disaster for the Red Sox to go into sell mode. But I do think you need to look at, or really, you need to temper your expectations as to who the Red Sox are going to go out and get. Like, the odds of the Red Sox going out and getting a guy like Kirby Yates or going out and getting a guy like Shane Green, very unlikely, because those are arguably the two biggest guys on the market. They're going to have plenty of suitors available, and the Red Sox are either going to have to just empty the farm system to go get a guy like that, or they're just going to have to look elsewhere because they don't have the assets to match up with a team like, like I said, the Braves or somebody like that that's trying to bolster a team at the last second, even the Yankees, even the Rays. I mean, those teams have way more prospect talent than the Red Sox do. So I don't see the Red Sox going out and getting a top tier guy, but I would not be surprised at all if they go add somebody at the deadline, probably a veteran at that point.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't see the Red Sox being sellers unless, you know, something major happens, because it's essentially the same team as last year. We're just waiting on everything to click at this point. We're one game back of the second wild card spot. I think there's still hope, and I think we can get this turned around. Like you said, these next couple weeks are huge. If we can get a sweep against the Orioles, which is very capable, and go on a little bit of a hot streak, I think that would really help this team's confidence. Maybe, you know, us go on a little bit of a run. And then at the deadline, pick up, you know, I'm not asking for like a really, really good reliever. I'm just asking for a couple guys that can give you an inning here and there that are you can trust in. And if we get that, I think we can, you know, go on a deep run in the postseason, just because it's the same team as last year's, and we just need everything to click. But that's how I feel about the whole situation. No, I would not trade Mookie, reigning MVP. Like, he's having, you know, a little bit of a he's regressing a little bit this year, but I really, really believe he'll pick that up here soon. But it's going to be interesting. I just thought of this offseason and what, you know, plays out, because you really don't know what's going on in Mookie's head. I my guess is he wants to test the market and see how much money he can get. Will he stay with the Red Sox? I have no idea. So that's going to be interesting to see. I really don't even want to think about that at this point, because it's kind of getting me into a whole Kyrie vibe. So, yeah, I'm pretty worried about that. But we don't have to talk about that right now. We can go on the last topic we got. Which Red Sox hitter has impressed you the most this season? I guess I'll start. I think this one's pretty easy for me. Xander Bogaerts. Bogaerts has been a guy that, even when this offense is really struggling, he's a guy that I can look to and be like, yeah, he's still performing well. He's a solid bat in the lineup. You can always trust him this season. Just a little bit of stats. He has a 2.6 WAR this season. He's slashing .295, .379, and .531. He has the most RBIs out of the American League shortstops. That's with a minimum of 250 at-bats. He's second in slugging in AL shortstops, second in OPS in AL shortstops, and he's second in on-base percentage in AL within the AL shortstops. So he's having a monster season. I've always felt that he's underrated. I really like the contract. I like locking up Bogaerts for years to come. He's one of my favorite Red Sox players to watch. So yeah, I think it's an easy answer. He's my favorite, or he's my Red Sox hitter that's impressed me the most of the season. What about you?
Yeah, I think Bogaerts is a fantastic pick. Quick update: Michael Chavis just drove in another run. Also, 443 feet on that Christian Vasquez bomb. That is a shot.
Let me check the EV on that. See what got there. But yeah, that was an absolute nuke from Vasquez. So yeah, that was a bomb, and like I said, he pimps that 106.5 exit velocity. That's, he got a hold of that one.
Sure did. So I think,
man, yeah, he did.
So I'll defer with you just for the sake of the podcast. I'll go with Rafael Devers, and really that's because of how big of a turnaround that he had, you know, after that first month. And it's not to say he had a bad first month, but I think it was like no home runs, 6 or 7 RBIs, just was okay throughout that first month. But oh my gosh, has he turned it on lately? I mean, he's up to, goodness, 10 home runs. I almost read 79 RBIs. Nope, that's hits. but he's got like a 2.3 WAR, 296 batting average. And honestly, for me, I know we're talking about hitting, but his defense is so much better. And it's just, he looks comfortable. His footwork looks so much better. He always used to catch himself flat-footed for whatever reason and try to make every throw way more difficult than he had to be. And the dude has a strong arm. I mean, he doesn't have Nolan Arenado or Manny Machado's arms, but Rafael Devers has a hose at third base. So for him to be able to get that footwork going, he just looks like an entirely different fielder. And I know he had an error the other night, but honestly, it's the first time in a long time that you look down and you're like, oh, that was a rough play from Devers. So, I mean, at the plate, I think he leads all of baseball in exit velocity. He has like the most balls hit over 95 miles an hour. I mean, the dude is just tearing the cover off the ball. And for the most parts, his outs seem loud. But I think the funniest part of Devers this year is how animated he gets in the box. I mean, how many times have we seen him smacking himself in the head while in the batter's box? Like, he gets so frustrated with himself, he just smacks himself in the head. So
he reminds me of like a T-ball player who just wants to like swing his hardest, like every swing he gets. And if he gets a hold of one, it's going a mile. And that explains Devers to a T this season. And just to touch on his defense, I know we've both been big advocates of him, you know, progressing defensively wise. But he had a play the other night where he, I forget what game it was, but he like played a hop perfectly, and I just thought like last year at this time Devers would have, you know, botched that play and made it look horrible, but he played that perfectly the other night, and I was like, yeah, he's getting to be a really, really, really good defensive third baseman, and if he can get the defense and offense clicking at the same time, watch out, because he is a stud if he can get both of those taken care of. But yeah, he's a good pick too. Another live update. JD Martinez bomb.
That was a bomb. Holy cow. Oh man.
This team right now, I think that's 3 home runs tonight so far and 5 home runs last night. I need to do the math after this podcast to see how many games it took us to hit 8 home runs before this 2-game series, but these last 2 games. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Oh, I forgot. We can touch on Kimbrel signing. Kimbrel finally signed with the Cubs. Cody, do you have any regrets at all not giving him another chance and coming back with the Red Sox?
I mean, would I have wanted to sign Craig Kimbrel? Yes, absolutely. I can't stand the crowd on Twitter and Facebook that for some reason have developed this thought that Craig Kimbrel sucks. That's absolute garbage. He has Hall of Fame resume already written all over him, and all he has to do is just continue at a remotely decent pace, and the guy is probably going to be a Hall of Famer. He's not a first ballot guy, but he's a guy that is one of the best closers in our generation. I mean, he is that good. And I think it's just recency bias. If you look at last season or even the playoffs and go, wow, this guy struggled, he's terrible, he's not worth that kind of money. And yes, I think whoever his agent gave him bad advice last year, and he paid the price by sitting out a decent part of this season. I mean, that's very clear. But the reality is, if you can add Craig Kimbrel to your baseball team, you absolutely do it. So I would give Dombrowski the benefit of the doubt of this one, and definitely would believe that he looked into a shorter contract with Kimbrel, something more team friendly. And obviously, given his age and his production to this point, I don't blame him for wanting to go out and maximize his value. But certainly, as you mentioned earlier, Dombrowski felt like he was managing a very low budget, small market team where, you know, we could look back and laugh at this statement in 4 or 5 years, but so I think the luxury tax would cost the Red Sox the first and second round picks, I believe. And so they drafted Cameron Cannon from Arizona this year, and nothing against him. He seems like a very good prospect, but is Cameron Cannon going to make that big of a difference in 5 or 6 years? I don't know. And that's really the thing with the draft, is it's such like a big lottery that you really don't know what you're drafting. You're just entirely projecting guys on their trades and production at that point. So it just seemed very odd that he didn't attack and be more aggressive in free agency. But I guess in conclusion, I'm happy for Craig. I think the Cubs are a great fit for him. I'm a little surprised that someone like the Rays or the Twins or even the Brewers weren't more active in the Craig Kimbrell sweepstakes. But, I mean, he's with a great club. Obviously, Theo knew all about him and made a great signing there. So would you have gone after Craig, or were you fine just to kind of wait it out?
I'm looking back, I think I'm good with how Dombrowski played it out. I was reading Chris Cotillo of Mass Live had a he has like a three-part series coming out with like talking with Dombrowski, and he asked Dombrowski about you know, did you ever give Kimbrell another look, and he was like, no, not really. It's just I've seen how the market plays out, and I knew that he'd end up on a team, and I just feel like it wasn't you know, basically he said it wasn't worth it at that point, and we didn't want to spend that much money, and I completely side with Dombrowski on that. I just wouldn't have given Kimbrell that much money when we have Dalton or Durbin Feltman. I about called him Dalton Furbush.
That's Section 10 influence.
Yeah, oh my God. But yeah, he's hopefully developing pretty well in the minors, so we can get him up within the next couple seasons. And the whole Mookie, you know, free agency thing, we're going to need every penny we have to sign him. But yeah, I'm completely okay with how Dombrowski played it. Yeah, to wrap it up, I think we're both on the same side in the sense that we were okay with Kimbrell signing elsewhere. So yeah, like you said, I'm happy for him, but you know, it's just one of those things, wasn't gonna fit this year, so yeah. But I think that wraps it up. Did I miss? Is there anything else you want to cover during this episode?
I mean, I don't think so. I really think the biggest takeaway from the episode is that if the Red Sox truly want to make a playoff run or make a run at the division, there just has to be more consistency, and that's really it. And I think it starts with the bullpen. I mean, starting rotation's been as good as what we expect it to be. I mean, Erod's not an ace. Porcello's not an ace. Those are your back-end guys that are just hopefully can give you five to six innings, maybe seven, keep you in a game. The lineup's been much more productive lately, but you know, just the ups and downs of the bullpens have really killed us to this point.
Yep, that's you nailed it right there. I feel like we're going to just absolutely beat the crap out of the whole like reliever thing. So yeah, I think that's all we got. In other news, I think this is worth mentioning. If you follow Cody or I on Twitter, we both joined the Internet Baseball Writers Association of America the other day, which is pretty cool. Like Cody said, Sox is making moves, so watch out. But yeah, that's basically all I got. Not sure when we'll record another podcast, but hope you guys enjoy.